Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight?
Manny.
And I'm Dorsey Manny.
And we are the preacher.
And the pastor.
Today we're talking about...
Get back up again.
My.
Oh, yes. Get back up again. This is going to be a topic that is going to open up the eyes and open up hearts. Get back up again. I'm so excited about this topic tonight. I want to tell y'all about some times where I had to get back up again. Amen.
Amen. Because Jesus Christ, we can get back up again and know that there is better ahead. And when we get back up stronger, better than we fell down. Understand, we can fall down, but you can get back up again. And Christ came so that we could get back up again.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay down. Get back up again.
That's right.
Some people feel like they have to stay there, but get back up again. That's what we're talking about today.
That's right. Getting back up again.
Amen. We're just now tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor Show. We're talking about today, get back up again. Get back up again. A lot of us may have in your life fallen short of glory and, you know, were stuck there and felt like, you know what, God is not going to accept me. God is not going to forgive me. But understand, God has already forgiven you. Get back up again. You don't have to stay in that place. We'll see that Jesus Christ came. He's already did it all on the cross so that you can get back up again and have all that God has for you. Today, so this show will help us not to stay down or to stay away from God's given grace through faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. The Bible says in James 5:19-20, and I'll give you all the opportunity to get there. Again, James 5, chapter 5, verse 19-20, If you're just in tuning into the Preacher and the Pastor Show, we're talking about get back up again. You do not have to stay there. And as we continue on with this show, just understanding where you are. Some of us are still down dealing with guilt, dealing with shame, dealing with hurt, dealing with pain, dealing with unforgiveness. You don't have to stay there. Dealing with sin, you don't have to stay there. Get back up again. Life knocks you down. Choices knocks you down. But you can get back up again. Again, that chapter is, we're in the James, chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. The Bible says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. When we look at these scriptures here, clearly this person who has wandered from the truth is a believer who has fallen into sin. So one who is no longer living a life consistent with his or her beliefs. Christians disagree over whether or not it is possible for people to lose their salvation, but all agree that those who move away from their faith are in serious trouble and need to repent. So James urges Christians to help backsliders. Again, James here speaking about helping the backslider. He urges us as Christians to help one another, to help the backslider return to God by taking the initiative, praying for the person, and acting in love. We can meet the person where he or she is and bring him or her back to God and his forgiveness. Again, we're in James chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. Get back up again. You don't have to stay there. And we're here to help one another to get back up again when we fall down, when we allow ourselves to be consumed with the world and worldly things and become the world instead of living in this world. Get back up again. Get back to what God has you to do. Get back to God. Don't stay there. Get back. And then we're looking at verse 20 here. So the book of James emphasizes faith in action. So right living is the evidence and result of faith. The church must serve with compassion and speak lovingly and truthfully, live in obedience to God's commands, and love one another. Now, the body of believers ought to be an example of heaven on earth, drawing people to Christ through love for God and each other. So if we truly believe God's word, we will live it day by day. Now, God's word is not merely something we read or think about, but something we do believe. Faith, belief, faith, and trust must have hands and feet, which are ours. If you just stand to the knee every time I get back, amen. Get back up again. You don't have to stay there. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Now, getting back up again, you know what? While you were over there in James, I was thinking about a time to where, I was down, and this place, and nobody wants to be down, and most people don't even want to remember when they were down. And when I'm saying when I was down, I'm talking about my spirit. The spirit of me was just low. I just felt like, everything else looked like it was going okay, but the spirit of me, I was down. It's like people would say things, and it would bring me down. It would just bring me down lower and lower and lower, almost to the point where I just felt like, oh, man, just every time somebody say something, it's just walking all over me. So I was down. And what I did realize, I realized that there were things that I were doing. They were definitely all according to how this world or how or the job that I had or how the relationship, that I was in. That it just told me, this is what you were supposed to do. This is how you're supposed to do. It's like I was setting a time clock to be able to live how people told me how to live. And when I did that, what I believe now, what was going on, I was allowing the world and I was allowing people to rule over me and to lord over me and to tell me how to think and to tell me how to do this, which would lead me into a place where they would just always keep me down, just all type of things keep me down until I got into the Word of God. Now, most of the time when a person gets knocked down or like I like to say, when something comes falling down, either when you get knocked down or something comes falling down, it's something that we create. It's something that we create, and we be following that thing. We be in that place to where, we just trying to make it work. I'm going to make it work. We see it's not working, but I'm going to try to make it work. We just do not want to start over. We just do not want to start over. I was in that place where, I don't want to start over. I just have been here, and I've been on this job for all this time, and now I know this job just keep on having me in this place. I've been in this situation. Even if it's a relationship, I'd have been in this relationship. I'm going to make it work. But over here in first chapter, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God.
Mm-hmm.
So now, that's one thing, just reading this right here, that's one thing that nobody likes to start over. Nobody likes to start from the beginning. Because what it is that I have thought out to do, the path that I've been down, I've been doing this for so long. Now I've been knocked down. Yes, I've been knocked down. You know, I get back up and get knocked down again and get back up and get knocked down again. Well, maybe that's for a reason. Maybe I'm going the wrong way.
Yes.
I did realize that at some point. I realized that, you know what? What it is that I'm doing, I'm going the wrong way, and that's why I cannot succeed in this area. I can't succeed in this area because it ain't the way that I'm supposed to go. Beginning. Who wants to start all over again? Preacher, who wants to start all over? That's a question. That's one thing that people just do not want to admit that, you know what, I'm going the wrong way. I don't want to start all over again. Yeah, I know I'm getting knocked down, but that's all right. I'm used to getting knocked down. I don't want to start. Have you ever been in that place? We just did not want to start all over again.
You know what I have to say? You know, I look at it two different ways there. Sometimes we're looking to start over. We're looking for a new beginning. We're looking, you know what? And we're looking to be broken and be made new. So with some of us do not want to start over. Some of us will not let go of that thing that is causing us stay down and not able to get back up because it's familiar to us. We're comfortable with that. We've become complacent in it. So we don't want to start over, especially when it comes to relationships and you feel like you've invested time with this person and you're like, I just don't want to start over. So people will stay in certain situations, even in jobs, because they just don't want to start over because they've invested in so much. But then you have people like me that have been in situations where I'm tired and I want a new beginning. I wanted to start over, step down the right way. I was tired of being in that same place. I didn't let myself get complacent in it, that I was ready for a fresh start. I was ready for a new beginning. And we know with that, when it's when you want a new beginning and a fresh start, you have to start over.
Yes. You're right about that. When you want a fresh start, you definitely have to. I guess I was in that place. The reason I asked you the question, because I just want to, that's just me, because I've been knocked down. It's right here, get back up again. I've been knocked down so many times, and it got to the point where I ain't going to be knocked down no more. I think I have to be built up
right,
strong. I have to have
something. Giving the stuff over, losing. Yeah, definitely.
No, I got to be stronger. I got to be stronger this time. See, now being stronger, to me, being stronger is knowing what I've done. What I've done, not what somebody else done, knowing what I've done and realizing and that, you know what, I did that wrong. Okay, I won't do that again. And because I stopped doing what it is that I was doing, then now, see, I can't be knocked down by that again. So I ain't going to have to worry about having to get up off the floor because, see, I know that that situation that I was in at first, it made it look like it was, maybe looked it good or it maybe looked like, you know, I can deal with it. But the whole thing that I did wrong was I just wanted to be in a situation that looked it good, but it was not good for me. It was not good for me. And it kept me in that place where I just be knocked down. I think I heard you say on one show, broke down, having knocked down, having broke down. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
some people, they get broken, they got to get broke down. It's being broken enough, then you got to get broke down where there's no
way. Yeah.
Nothing is going
on. I'm just
going
to be honest
about
it.
Can't go forward or back.
I'm just going to be honest about it. That's right. Just being honest about it. You know, we get knocked down all the time. Now, especially when I was on the football team. You know, I was on a pretty large-sized football team. I think it was about maybe 55 to 100 players. So there was a lot of getting knocked down because everybody was fighting for a position. Everybody was fighting for a position. It don't matter if you were on the freshman team or you were a senior playing on the varsity team. No one had a position that was guaranteed. You know, it was from week to week. Only the strong person, whoever proved themselves to be able to learn the plays the fastest, whoever proved themselves to be the strongest, we had to line up in front of each other, and the bigger guys lined up versus the smaller guys. And I now understand the reason why the coach was doing it, but I got a lot of getting knocked down. I'm talking about I used to get knocked down hard. I forgot hitting so hard, and this right here, I'm going to show you how this relates to life. I got hit so hard out there playing against these bigger guys to where my whole, like, I couldn't even see. You know, I'm looking up at the sky. I couldn't see anything, you know, nothing but sun. It was blinding me. But I could hear a voice, and it was the voice of my coach saying, get up, get up, get up. Now, I'm hurting. I done got knocked down. I got hit hard. But I heard this voice that was telling me to get up, get up, get up. Now, I didn't want to because don't he just realize I just got hit hard? Yeah, he realized I got hit hard. But he knew as hard as I got hit, he knew that all this equipment that I have, see, I was equipped from head to toe. I had a helmet on and shoulder pads and all this equipment. I got hit hard, but it didn't hurt me. I just got knocked down, but it didn't hurt me. Now, when I was right there in that place where I was laying on my back and I was looking up, the only thing I can see was the light that came from the sun, and I can hear that voice that encouraged me to get up. Well, you know what? The same type of thing, I realized that, you know, by growing up, because I've gotten knocked down so many times out there in that hot sun and going up against bigger people inside of me, that built some character that was inside of me. So now when I came out here and started to live on my own and be able to be in this world, the same type of thing was going on. There were stronger people or bigger people that were in a better position that all the time wanted to have me in that place where they could knock me down or to beat me down, and they did do that same thing, but they could never keep me down. The reason why they couldn't keep me down because I have already, that characteristic was already built inside of me. Yeah, you may knock me down now, but you ain't going to keep on knocking me down because one of these times you're going to try to knock me down and I ain't going to be moved. And the reason I ain't going to be moved because I done already anchored myself. Now, when you do that, you anchor yourself. I'm talking about being in the Word. Anchor yourself in the Word. Anchor yourself in the Word. When you find yourself getting knocked down, put your eyes on the Word of God. And when you put your put your eyes on the Word of God, then you are preparing yourself. You are anchoring yourself to where now somebody just can't easily knock you down. Amen.
Yes. Amen. We're just going to tune into the Preaching the Pastor Show. We're talking about get back up again. And that is a good example, you know, and it's so important because a lot of us, we go through and we get knocked down and we don't know how to get up again. And understand what the Word says. The Bible says it. And the reason why some people don't get back up again because they're ashamed. So they live the life.
Yeah.
They live their life in that place. Knocked down, defeated, discouraged, ashamed, living with guilt, living with unforgiveness, not being able to forgive themselves, can get back up again. People say that they stayed away from the church, they stayed away from God for 20 years because they backslid, because they couldn't take it no more, and they found it hard to get back, you know, because they had turned their back on God. But I'm here to encourage you today, like Pastor said, to encourage you to get back up again. Though you may fall, but you can get back up again. And we thank God, we thank Jesus, we thank God for Jesus Christ who came so that we're able to get back up again when we fall short. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, and I'm going to read 23 through 26. Okay. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not some, but all have. So, and in verse 24, it said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So because we have Christ Jesus, we can get back up again. Verse 25 says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he may be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Get back up again. What is the Bible saying to us here? Some sin seem bigger than others because their obvious consequences are much more serious. And we think about murder, for example. It seems to us to be worse than hatred, and adultery seems worse than lust. But this does not mean that because we do lesser sins, we deserve eternal life. So all sin makes us sinners, and all sin cuts us off from our holy God. So all sin, therefore, leads to death because it disqualifies us from living with God. Regardless of how great or small it seems, don't minimize little sins or overrate big sins. They all separate us from God, but they all can be forgiven. Verse 34, when you look at verse 24, justified means to be declared not guilty. When a judge in a court of law declares the defendant not guilty, all the charges are removed from his record. Legally, it is as if the person has never been accused. So when God forgives our sins, our record is wiped clean. From his perspective, it is though we have never sinned. You don't have to say to get back up again. Redemption refers to Christ setting sinners free from slavery to sin, setting us free from slavery to sin. So in the Old Testament times, a person's death could result in his being sold as a slave. The next of kin could redeem him by his freedom. Christ purchased our freedom, and the price was his life. Christ is our propitiation, and our sacrifice, or our atonement. In other words, he died in our place for our sins. God is justifiably angry at sinners. They have rebelled against him and cut themselves off from his life-giving power. But God declares Christ's death to be the appropriate designated sacrifice for our sins. Christ then stands in our place, having paid the penalty of death for our sins. And he completely satisfies God's demands. His sacrifice brings pardon, deliverance, and freedom for us. So we don't have to stay there. Get back up again. Don't let people tell you that you can't be saved because of what you did or what you're doing to make you stay in that place. That is the work of the enemy. I'm here to encourage you. We are here to encourage you today and inspire you to get back up again. Christ came. What happened to people who lived before Christ came? Let's talk about that, and then I'll let you speak up, Pastor. What happened to the people who lived before Christ came and died for sin?
Put a period right there. So you said something right now to where, okay, that's to a believer or a new believer or a non-believer. That's going to be hard to believe. You saying that sin, now, there is no greater sin than another sin from a person that's committed adultery, from a person that has committed murder. So now, how can you tell somebody that? How can you tell somebody that? Because most of the time, people, and I'm not talking about not excluding me, but most of the time people, we want to look at what you are doing is a lot more worse than what I'm doing. God ain't going to forgive. God going to forgive me for what I'm doing, but for what you have done or what you are doing, God ain't going to forgive you for that. Now, what kind of how can you get a person, how can you get a person to believe that, okay, you're committing adultery, but you are a murderer? You know, God ain't going to forgive. Because most of the time people want to say, God ain't going to forgive you for murder, but somebody committing adultery. Oh, God don't look at that. God don't look at that. How can you convince someone of that?
How can you convince someone that if you murder and you commit adultery?
Yeah. So what you said was there's no greater. You said you said there was no greater sin. You know, sin is sin. We all have sin. We all have sin. Mm-hmm. But what I believe is, I believe that, you know, we are the people, whether we are believers or if we're not believers, we get into that place to where we think that, you know what I'm doing is not worse than what you're doing. So how can you get a person, you know, how can you get a person to know that, hey, you know what, you're sinning, but I'm sinning too. You know, this sin that I'm doing, you know, maybe it might be just swept underneath the rug, but in the eyes of God, you know, sin is sin. And anybody that does not believe that they can be forgiven of all sins, you're right there in that place where you're not believing that God has forgiven you for all sins.
First, they have to believe. They have to believe and receive. And I believe the scripture has broken itself down, as I was explaining, in these scriptures for the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. And explaining to people what grace is, and it's up to them to believe, to receive that, and understand that all sin is sin. And Jesus came and he died for all our sins. And the Bible is telling us here. Go ahead.
Amen. Okay.
I can't hear.
Go ahead.
I don't know what happened.
Go ahead.
Did I answer your question?
We had a little bit of, you answered my question. It was a little technical. I think something happened with the phone. Go ahead, Pastor.
Oh, okay. And I'm just going to wrap up and I'll give it back over to you. But we're talking about get back up again here. And as we're talking about here, the pastor was asking me, you know, how can one believe that they're, you know, that one sin is not greater than the other, and believing that their sin will be forgiven, you know, because sometimes we want to say, oh, you lie, oh, well, you're committing adultery, so your sin is worse,
right?
Because you hear a lot of people feel like if I murder somebody, oh, that's a great sin, you know, well, you definitely going to hell. All I did was told a lie, all I did was cheat, but I ain't hurt nobody, but you killed somebody. But the Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of glory. That's why Jesus had to come, so that our sins have been taken away. But in order for us to receive that, is we have to receive Jesus. And when we receive Jesus, we receive all that Jesus came to do, everything that he fulfilled in his coming. So when we look at verse 25 here, and we think about what happened to the people who lived before Christ came and died for sin. So because he came, because no man could do it. No man could do it. And so no one could fulfill the law. So if God condemned them, was he being unfair? So if he saved them, was Christ's sacrifice unnecessary? So Paul shows us that God forgave all human sin at the cross of Jesus. So the Old Testament believers looked forward in faith to Christ coming and were saved, even though they did not know Jesus. They did not know Jesus' name or the details of his earthly life. So unlike the Old Testament believers, you know about the God who loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that we should put our trust in him.
Yes.
Put your trust in God. Put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in God and get back up again. Amen?
Amen. Amen. It does not matter whatever it is that you're going through, and it does not matter what you've been through. God knows all about it anyhow. God knows all about it anyhow. Jesus, he was teaching, and I think he was teaching on a mountain to his disciples, and he was talking about, you know, blessed. He was talking about, you know, how you are blessed. You are blessed. Talking about if you believe in God, then you are blessed. If you believe in God, then you are blessed. If you're poor in spirit, then you are blessed. If you're mourning, then you are blessed. If you're meek, then you are blessed. He said blessed with ED, not blessings. You're already blessed. You're already blessed when you believe in God. So there are some things as believers, as Christians or as believers, that you say you are believers of God, there's some things that we automatically give it to God and we believe God for it. We believe God for it, but then there are other things to where don't believe yet. Not that we won't ever believe, but we just don't believe yet. And these things right here that we just don't believe yet, that keep us in that place where we are just down. We're just so down on ourselves because we just keep on remembering these things that we have said. We keep on remembering these things that we have done. These things have just been lingering around in our mind. They have embedded themselves in our heart. They have caused us to be the man or the woman that we are, you know, this characteristic that we are because of some things that we have done as if, you know, we are not forgiven, as if we are not redeemed. And you see, that's the work of Satan. That's the work of Satan.
Yeah.
And Satan would tell us that he would speak some stuff in your mind, but no, God ain't forgave that. No, you know, you still doing that. God ain't forgave that. Yes, God have already forgiven that. It's time for us to be delivered from that thing, whatever it is that's holding us down or pinning us down or that keep on causing us to fall where we are not down. Now over here in Matthew 5, and 12, Matthew 5 and 12, now this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. The reason we should always rejoice in any situation or anything that you're going through or anything that you have been through, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. The reason why you should rejoice is because you have the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God that that is with you always in every situation. Even when you was in that situation that you were in, when you were in that situation, God was with you. God was with you.
Yes.
He is not a man, nor a woman that's right now, you know, believing, that's walking in faith and walking in love and believing and receiving. See, they had to go through something first. They had to go through something first because had they would have not have went through these things they had went through from time past, now they wouldn't be in that place right now where they're trusting and believing in God. They would have been trusting and believing themselves, would have had no reason to come to God, would have had no reason.
True.
Now, all these things right there, now all these things, some things we leave back there behind us. We leave it in the past. But see, right in 12, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. He said, for so the persecuted, they from now, right now, see, now you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. Are you going to stay right there? Are you going to stay down? Are you going to stay in that place to where, well, you know, God, I know you done did it for my mom, but I don't believe that you would do it for me because of what it is that I'm saying or what it is that I'm doing. No, rejoice and be glad because, you know, when you make it to that place where you're rejoicing and you're glad that you have already been delivered, see, now you're putting yourself in that place where you're expecting for God to show up and do something. You're expecting because you believe the word. You believe his word. Now, God, you said that. Now, that was something that me and my wife had experienced this past weekend to where, I mean, it was something, you know, that was going on. We know it was the work of Satan, and Satan, now he was just working hard trying to separate us and trying to get us to feel like, you know, that this ain't right and that ain't right. And, you know, I really had stopped for a second and, you know what, I know what to do. I know what to do. I know to pick up the word of God. If I don't believe anything else, God, I know that you love me. And because I know that you love me, I know that you have already given me the answer. Now, I might not have the answer because I might can't see it like I see it, but I know the answer for what it is that I need is already written, is already in the Word of God. It is written already. And I open up my Bible. I put myself aside. I put myself aside. I put my feelings aside or whatever it was. I put that all aside, and I begin to read Scripture. And I begin to confess that, okay, yes, I did this, but I begin to read Scripture. But your Word says, God, your Word says this. And I will read that Scripture, and I will say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will go to other Scripture, and I will read that Scripture, and I will say it out loud. And I was decreeing and declaring that it is so. And because your Word is true, and I know that you tell the truth, I'm expecting right now for my situation to change, not next time or later on or 2 or 3 days. No, I'm expecting my situation to change right now. And when I got right there in that place, see, what had caused me to be knocked down, see, now I ain't knocked down. See, now I'm back standing. I'm back standing on the Word of God, which is a place where I should have been in the first place. But, see, we are human. We're human. We're mankind, you know. Sometimes, you know, we'll get off the path of being able to follow the Holy Spirit. That's how we want to do it, which will lead us to that place where we're going to mess up. Yeah, we will mess up. But when you believe in God, when you trust in God, when you have faith, open up that word and read that word and expect the desires, what you desire, it will show up. Expect. You've been knocked down, but read the word of God and believe the word of God and expect what you read to show up. Jesus Christ is our champion. He has never lost a battle. Have never lost a battle. Now, you say that you're a Christian and you say that you trust God. Yeah, this world, the Bible says that we will experience trials and tribulations. The Bible never said that, Christian, that we would never experience trials and tribulations. You would definitely experience trials and tribulations. Count it all joy. Get back up again.
Yes.
Get back up again.
Don't say
that.
Because
it is God that is with you. He is with you always.
Amen.
Get back up again and stand on the word of God. Amen.
Amen. If you just tuned in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about get back up again on today. You don't have to stay there. That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to stay there. He wants you to be so consumed with your guilt, with your shame, with your past, where you at right now, you know, bringing, you know, speaking fault on yourself. We ought to be careful what we speak to, because that will take root. You know, we're speaking to ourselves. God is saying, speak to me, talk to me, so I can help you get back up again. Don't talk to yourself about yourself. You need to talk to God so God can tell you about you and how you can get back up again. Jesus came so that we could get back up again. And I thank God for that, because a lot of times we've done things in our past and we can't get up because we haven't forgiven ourselves. So we're here to encourage you once again to get back up again. When we look in the Bible at Peter, think about Peter, who denied Jesus three times. Three times.
Mm-hmm.
Three times. So he can imagine how he felt. He was in that place where he felt like, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to be able to come back from this. How am I going to be able to get back up again from this? The Bible says when we look in Luke, and we always have to, you know, we like to always say scripture, interpret scripture, precept, 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 word upon word, rightly dividing the word of God. So we're looking here at Luke, and we look at Luke chapter 22, verse 59, says, and after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Galilean. Excuse my speech, y'all. Galilean. So, and then the Bible says, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And verse 61 says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. So Peter is now in a place where he is down. He is weeping because what he said he would not do, what he decreed and declared, I won't do that. I will die before I do that. I will never deny you. And here it goes. The word that was spoken to him by Jesus, now it has come to pass. Can you imagine that? Somebody say, oh, yeah, you're going to deceive me. Oh, yeah, you're going to turn your back on me. Then the day comes, and now you're in that place. Now you are down. Now you are beat down in that place, and you don't want to come out. Peter, here, when we look at verse 62, Peter wept bitterly, not only because he realized that he had denied his Lord, the Messiah, but also because he had turned away from a very dear friend, a person who had loved and taught him for 3 years. Peter has said that he would never disown Christ, despite Jesus' prediction. So, but when frightened, he went against all he had boldly promised. I'm sure a lot of us been there before, unable to stand up for his Lord for even 12 hours. He had failed as a disciple and as a friend. So we need to be aware of our own breaking points and not become overconfident or self-sufficient, but even in that matter, to be able to get back up again. So if we fail, if we fail him, we must remember that Christ can use those who recognize their failures from this humiliating experience. Peter learned how much that would help him later when he assumed leadership of the young church. And then we go over and we're talking about get back up again. Though he fell right here, you know, Jesus still used him. He asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Then we're going to go over John 21 and 15. John 21 and 15, you all again. John 21 and 15 says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked wherever you wish, But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. So what the Bible is saying here to us, it's saying a lot to us, but we're having to stop and get back up again. Though Peter failed miserably, though Peter turned his back on his the Messiah and his friend, he was able to get back up again because he still had Christ, because he decided, you know what, I'm going to get back up again. And Jesus still used him after he had fallen. Jesus can do the same thing with us if you are willing, if you are able, and this one in your life, just get back up again. How do I do that, Pastor? Trust in God. Seek God to help you get back up again. But first, you got to believe that God can do it in all your situations. You can get back up again off your sick bed. You can get back up again in your relationship. You can get back up again from those things that try to hold you down in your past. You can get back up again by holding on to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yeah.
And I just want to break this scripture down for those that are listening. When people wonder, why did Jesus continue to ask him this? Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. The first time Jesus said, do you truly love? Do you truly love? Do you truly love me?
Yeah.
The second time Jesus focused on Peter alone and still used the word translated into the Greek, agape love. You have agape love, depending on who's saying it. It can be agape to you, agape love. The third time Jesus used the word translated into Greek, phileo. He's asking, do you love me? And I'm asking you all today, do you love Jesus? Do you trust in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus, that he came and he died for you, and he conquered and he gave all things in this world? He conquered and he was able to, the Bible says that he conquered everything in this world. And knowing that Jesus came and he conquered everything for us, get back up again. Back up again. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was over here reading over here in Matthew 15. And I was reading this right here, Matthew 15, and I realized, you know, a lot of times when we get knocked down, it's because either we're leading ourselves or someone is leading us. Now, Jesus describes over here in Matthew 15 and 14, like the blind leading the blind. Let me read this here. The blind leading the blind. Now, a lot of times we fall into temptation. A lot of times we fall into stuff, or we fall down, or we find ourselves down because we're being led by someone, or we lead ourselves into that place. Jesus says right here in Matthew 15 and 14, says, let them alone. He said, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, that's really saying something about when you're blinded to certain things. When you're blinded to certain things, you'll be doing all manner of things and thinking that you're going the right way, and you're listening to someone, and the next thing you know, someone that's blind, they're trying to lead you. And my grandfather used to say this here, too. Now, when I read this here, he said, how can I lead you if I can't see? He said, blind can't lead the blind. Thought that was one of the funniest things. You know, I used to ask. Yeah, I used to ask him, you know, for some guidance on some things that he did not know the answer to. But he didn't just tell me anything because he didn't want to lie to me. And he used to say, it was one of the scriptures, and now I know where he get it from. How can the blind lead the blind? He's like, well, basically saying, I don't know the answer to that. And because I don't know the answer to that, I'm not going to lead you to a place to where, you know, we both going to fall down in the ditch. And I believe right there, when we have to get back up again, it's things that we do that we cause ourselves to fall from grace. That's one thing that we don't want to do. Don't fall from grace. But God still loves you anyhow. Even if you fall from grace, you know, God still loves you, because he's right here. What Jesus is saying is, leave them alone. They blind. Because if they knew better, then they would not be doing that. If they knew better, they knew what he's saying that. Now, over here in 18, he talks about the heart. Now, this is where we come in at, to where we have to make sure that we don't have a hardened heart, knowing that we have made a mistake, knowing that we have fallen from grace. So it was never intended, you know, God never intended for us, you know, to fell from grace because of a decision that we made. And then our heart messed around and get hardened by it. And then now over here in 18, it says, but these things which proceed out of the mouth come out from the heart, and that what defiles a man. So what Jesus is saying is that what defiles a man, you know, is what's in his heart. Is not what you put in your mouth, is what comes out. Is what comes out, and what comes out is you speak these things just from your heart. Because of the things of who have led you or who have taught you, we say things according to what my big brother said, or we say things when my best friend has said that, not even knowing we would say things or we would do things and we'd be hurting each other. But we think that's what it's supposed to be because it sounded good, it sounded funny, it sounded like it's supposed to say at the time. 19 says, for out of the heart proceeds the evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornication, thieves, false witnesses. We definitely would find ourselves doing these things. We would find ourselves being these persons and not even knowing why. And our heart just would be messed up and thinking that God, you know, God ain't going to forgive. God don't love. No, God know your heart. That's one of the things that we like to say, you know, well, God know my heart. I know I'm doing this, but God know my heart. Yeah, God does know your heart. He wants you to change it. He wants you to change your heart. He wants you to change how you feel.
Amen.
Because before God can change your situation, change the situation, you have to allow him. You have to allow him to come inside of your heart. Change your heart first. So when you change your heart, you can change your mind about how you feel about things. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
True. Amen. If you're just tuning into the Preaching and Pastor Show, we're talking about get back up again. A lot of us are there.
Yes.
We don't know how to get up. You don't have to stay there. But we understand in the Bible, in Genesis, we look in Genesis, Genesis 8, verse 21 and 22. God knows us. He knows everything about us. The Bible says, then Noah built an ark to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And then the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So what is the Bible saying here? As we're talking about get back up again, countless times throughout the Bible, we see God showing his love and patience toward men and women in order to save them. So although he realized that their hearts are evil, he continues to try to reach them, to reach us. So when we sin or fall away from God, we surely deserve to be destroyed by his judgment. But God has promised never again to destroy everything on earth until the judgment day when Christ returns to destroy evil forever. Now, every change of season is a reminder of his promises. Get back up again. You don't have to stay there. And then another scripture I want to go to the coincide with this scripture, it's in the book of Luke. Let's go to Luke. For the Bible says, Luke 9 and 56. Luke 9 and 56 says, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Get back up again. Jesus came so that we can get back up again, so that we can have salvation. It's ready, available. You don't have to stay in that place. You don't have to stay mentally disabled by depression and anxiety, by finances, by relationships. You don't have to stay in that unforgiveness. You don't have to stay in guilt. You don't have to stay in shame. You don't have to stay down there operating now or crawling in the midst of your mess because you're afraid to get back up again, because you're afraid you've been there so long, it don't make sense for me to get up. God ain't going to forgive me, he ain't going to help me. Why should I get back up again? I know I'm going to go back and do the same thing that's knocked me down. I know I'm going to still deal with this thing. So why should I even get back up again? Because Jesus came. And he says that we all fall short of the glory of God. So that's why he had to come. So get back up again. Don't stay in. You don't have to stay there. I know people are backslide. People have been there 20 years and left the church. And you feel like, I can't go back. I can't get back. You can get back up again. Because God has made it ready, available through Christ Jesus, and by your faith, you're trusting in God to get back up again and not be in the same place that you get up from, but going to a greater place in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Believe that you can get back up again. Amen. Definitely believe that you can get back up again. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So now, this is what the Bible says. let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The word is talking to you. If you are redeemed, I am the redeemed of the Lord. So just because I've been knocked down, just because I've been going the wrong way, just because I've been doing the wrong things and saying the wrong things, I am the redeemed of the Lord. It is Jesus Christ who has forgiven me, who has died for me. Now, if Jesus Christ have gotten back up again, you know, he did die for all of our sins once and for all.
Yes, he did.
But he
he
didn't just stay right there. He didn't just die and bury. No, he got back up again. So the same the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, that's the same spirit that'll raise you up, that'll bring you back up. That's the same spirit.
Yes.
I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's how you get back up again. Believe in God and believe in this excellent spirit that he has left with you. He has left you with this excellent spirit, and you can do all things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Believe that you can do that. Don't believe that where you are and whatever situation that you're in, that it is for you to stay. No, that's not. It's not for you to stay in these situations. It's not for you to keep on doing it here. God loves you. And because you know that, because you know God loves you and he gave his life for you, you have the strength of the Lord to be able to overcome these things through Christ Jesus. Now, one thing that I like to say every single day, I like to remind myself that I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Now, at first when I was saying that, I was like, okay, I was building. It was something that was being built inside of me. It was courage. It was characteristics. It was belief, and it was faith. Every single day when I say, and I said it more than one time, I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. And even when Satan comes or when he tries to send his agents out to do things or say things or try to tell me that I'm someone else to try to knock me down, that's one thing I say. And I ain't listening to what you say, Satan, because I am the righteousness of God. And I'm clothed with immense power and authority to be able to speak a thing. Amen. Get back up again. Believe that you can. Amen.
You just entered into the Preaching the Pastor show. We wrapped up the last few minutes of the show. We're talking about get back up again. And I want to give the scripture because even when Jesus was on the cross, there were two that was on the cross as well. There were two other prisoners that were there, and I believe they were thieves or killers. But I want to read what the Bible says here, letting you know that you can get back up again, even in the situation where it looked like it's over. It's over for you. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23, you all, 23, verse 42, it says, "Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you today that you will be with me in paradise." So you can get back up again. This is the criminals that were on the cross hanging next to Jesus, and the one said, "Save me. Save me." And Jesus promised him, you can get back up again. Even in the midst of all that he had done right there with his sins, Jesus said, "You will get back up again, and you will be in paradise with me." You all get back up again. Let us pray, and then Pastor, you give food for thought. Father God, we just want to say thank you for this time, oh God. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and through his precious blood, we come in humility and fear and trembling, acknowledging our sins against you and others. We truly repent, Father God, right now with sorrow and whatever we have hurt you through our ways. And we choose to forgive those who we perceive have hurt or harmed us and others, our friends and loved ones. And Lord, we ask you to forgive them and bless them the way you desire to forgive and bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you to forgive us of our sins against you and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh God, let us let not your Holy Spirit depart from us, oh God. It hurts us, oh Lord, to know that we hurt you, and we are very sorry, oh God. We repent and we return, and we choose not to ever do this again. Father God, teach us how to get back up again, trusting you, Father God, for all things. Help us, Lord, please, Lord, to not sin against you, Lord. Cause us to go in your paths of righteousness, not seeking our own way. Restore us to walk in your course, oh God. Oh Heavenly Father, renew our right spirit within us right now with a right heart and contrite and a humble heart to know you and serve you all the days of our life. Cause us, Lord, to walk on the high places with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to rebuke all infirmity, affliction, inflammation, sicknesses, diseases, disorder, syndrome of any kind, abnormal cells of any kind. Lord, heal those that are sick, Lord God, that are waiting and praying and asking for healing on tonight. as we come touching and agreeing on tonight, Father God. Oh, Lord, knowing right now, Father God, that all that we pray and believing all that we pray, Father God, that you have answered our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We plead the presence of all who is listening on tonight, their household. May your household be blessed as well as ours in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we ask that you would just have your way right now, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Father God, and we command every high and lofty thought, vain imagination, every thought that exalts itself against you, Lord, to come down right now to the obedience of the mind of Christ in us. And we command these thoughts to cease their laborings in the name of Jesus Christ. So be still in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yeah. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you according to John 14:14 to supply your anointing to and destroy all evil bondages, yokes, chains, fetters, anchors, bands, all evil works, roots, fruits, and tentacles, and links out of our lives and out of our way right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you. Oh Lord, release the healing balm right now, oh God, of Gilead over us and through us and about us, our homes, oh God, and our family members and loved ones in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing, oh God. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for setting us free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. And we all say amen. And we want to let you all know that we do have Bible study tomorrow at 7 p.m., which is Wednesday night, every Wednesday night on a conference call, 978-990-5417. Access code is 434-1580-pound. Again, the number is 978-990-5417. Access code is 434-1580-pound. Food for thought, Pastor.
Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. Know that God loves you. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Yes,
know that God loves you. And let all that past go.
Thank
That's why it's called past. Let your past go. Let it go. Because God has a new thing for you. He has a new thing for you. In order for you to receive that newness, you have to let go of that old thing. Let go of that old thing,
true.
That past, all that hurt, that condemnation, that thing that keep you in that place of brokenness. Let that go. And let God have his way in your life.
Okay.
And that takes you trusting and believing in him that he will. Amen.
Yes. Amen. You just entered into the Preaching the Pastor show. We're talking about today, get back up again. And if I could say one thing, sometimes it's hard to get back up again. But trust God to help you get back up again. When you trust God, you'll find it easier each day. To get back up, it may take you a while to get off the ground because some of us are totally knocked down on our backs, and then we get to the point where we can just get to our knees, and then eventually one day you'll find yourself standing. And when you stand, all that has knocked you down, then it will stay down, but you will stand up and you will rise above your situations and your circumstances because now you are standing up again, and that that knocked you down. It has been buried. Bury that thing rise above it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just want to say thank you that we can get back up again because we don't longer hold on to this world, but Father God, we hold on to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Father God, help us. And it's all in your mind and say, Lord, help my mind to get back up again, Lord.
Yes.
And we just want to say thank you. If you've gotten away from the church because something happened or you did something, you felt too ashamed to get back. You feel too ashamed of how you was living or what you did or what you done. That is nothing that you can do that God will not forgive you for. Jesus came so that we can receive that. So we, because it is grace by grace and mercy, we are now in the covenant of grace. So ask God for forgiveness and get back up. Even while you're down, ask for it and get back up. Don't stay there.
Yes.
That's not for you.
That's right.
Get back up again. You all, if you can, please join us for Bible study on tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Again, that number is 978-990-5417. Access code 434-1580-pound. You all have a good night. Oh, yes, and Pastor, happy birthday. You all missed him on yesterday. His birthday was yesterday. So happy birthday, because we went on yesterday. But happy birthday, Pastor. God bless you. We seek blessings and favor of your life, that God will continue to increase you in greatness and knowledge and wisdom of his word each and every day of your life. We pray right now that God will bless you with a long, good life with strength and power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you, Lord. You all have a good night. We love you. And ain't nothing you can do about it. Love you, babe.
Amen. I love you.
Come on, put your hands together.